It's Ken Connors in for Andrew Carter. Let's get to Tom Mulcaire here at 737. Brought to you by Guaranteed Industries. With the warm weather approaching, Guaranteed Industries and Lennox would like to remind you to book your spring air conditioning maintenance tune-up now. Call them at 514-342-3400 or GuaranteedIndustries.com. Tom, how was your weekend?
Beautiful. It was a great weekend. Lots and lots of snow where we are, but it just means it's going to be a beautiful spring when it finally arrives.
Were you out driving in that snow on Saturday?
No. We stayed very close to home. We had gotten enough warmish weather before that we were able to make, tea, so I guess we would say maple toffee for the grandchildren. So that was a big treat over the weekend.
Tom, I want to start with some news about Roxham Road. It's on the front page of the Globe and Mail this morning that the U.S. and Canada, I mean, they announced the agreement when Biden was here, but this was in the works for about a year, but they didn't want to let it out because they were afraid of a surge at the border if the people knew the date.
Yeah, and they also wanted to save it for Biden's trip to Ottawa. Mm-hmm. You remember Marco Mendicino about 2 months ago just said, oh, no, I think I've got a deal to change this safe third country agreement. And Trudeau shut him down immediately. And Trudeau's very respectful of his cabinet. He doesn't do that usually. But obviously, the guy had totally spoken out of turn. So we guessed at the time correctly that there must have been a deal in the works or pretty well concluded, and there was. Sean Fraser had gone down to Washington at some point and met his vis-a-vis. So the deal is essentially, look, you come, if you're requesting asylum in Canada, you're still going to be told, no, the United States is the place where you make your request. If people do make it over the border and there is some talk, well, they'll just find the next place to go through. Once they've been here for a couple of weeks, then they'll have their request for asylum considered. It's a bit of a messy situation, but it had become really too much to handle. You can't have 40, 50,000 people a year coming over irregularly. Mm-hmm. It's not illegal because under international agreements, you are allowed to make that request, but it was totally irregular and it was hard to control. Canada welcomed well over 1 million legal immigrants last year. And we're very proud of being such an open and welcoming country. But you can just imagine how frustrating it was for somebody who was playing by the rules to see that, well, there's this other way to get in. And it was almost impossible for the Quebec government. You know, Quebec government gets, understandably, because a lot of its, you know, we've got legislation like Bill 21 that really openly discriminates against religious minorities. So it's easy to finger point at Quebec saying, oh, you just don't want to take your fair share. But if you look at all of Canada, these irregular crossings, Quebec was getting much larger proportion than its population. So it just couldn't, you know, it was too much of a strain on health, on education and everything else. A different solution had to be found. And Trudeau's going to pay a price for it in some of the communities because he's always, you know, he tweeted back at Trump at one point saying, oh, welcome to Canada. You know, we've got our arms wide open. Come here anytime. Mm-hmm. And it came back to haunt him and he had to shut it down.
Tom, what are you expecting? What are you hearing about the federal Liberal budget tomorrow?
It's going to be a tricky operation, but I think that the good news for Trudeau is that he's got an outstanding finance minister. Chrystia Freeland is somebody who deeply understands finance, but she's also really good at governing. So she's going to come up with a way to project basically on a timeline of 5 to 6 years, look, we'll get back to a balanced budget. Because like every other country in the world, we just printed money during the pandemic. We had to keep businesses open. We had to keep food on the table for families where they'd lost their job, and we did it. So there was some fraud, there was some overspending, but I don't think anybody who looks at it objectively can say that there was something wrong in the way we did it. But right now, we've got to start getting it under control at the same time that there's inflation. So you've got to say, well, let's find a way to help people. Maybe a good example of how you could help was people on the lower end of the income spectrum. They get a check to compensate them for the sales tax, the federal sales tax. So you could issue maybe more of those checks, but then you'll have Poilievre breathing down your neck saying, you're feeding inflation by printing more money. So there is going to be a little bit of that, but Poilievre's not going to stop complaining and saying Justin Trudeau is personally responsible for inflation in Canada, even though every other major economy is going through the same thing. So it's going to be politics as usual, Ken, but I think that we're going to get a good balanced approach to the budget, even if we're not going to have a balanced budget.
Will there be enough in there to keep Jagmeet Singh and the NDP happy?
Well, Singh gets, as he did, he was being interviewed by Vasek Kapelos on CTV Question Period over the weekend, and he said, well, he's not satisfied with his job. He wants to be prime minister, which is, you know, very valid thing for him to be saying, but I don't think that in his heart of hearts he actually believes that. I think that he knows that he's got to show Canadians that the NDP has a key role to play, because thanks to the NDP and that agreement, you've got, for example, dental care for children across Canada now, something that didn't exist before. And so there's $10 a day child care. Again, it's being pushed by the progressive side and by the NDP. So it's the same sort of thing. Trudeau's always going to say that it's his realization and that you should vote for him and not split the vote by voting for the NDP. But the NDP gets to push back and say, if you give the Liberals a majority, they're just going to be like the Conservatives and they won't do any of these social programs that they keep promising, because once they've got that majority, nobody can hold them to account, vote for us, and we'll keep their feet to the fire. That's the game that's being played. That's really the purpose of Singh's intervention over the weekend.
Tom, what now that you know President Biden has come and gone, what's your takeaway from the from his visit and his appearance on the floor of the House of Commons?
You know, it was almost symbolic, Ken, because Thursday was really messy weather, and you know, Friday it was amazing. You know, the blue skies. Thursday, what did we have? We had the resignation of Mr. Dong from the Liberal caucus. It was a big mess for Trudeau. Yeah. Friday, blue skies. Welcome, friend. Great speech by Biden. Every event went off perfectly, and Trudeau was basking in it. It was a personal and party triumph. I mean, this thing could not have gone better, including Roxham Road, which was something, as we just mentioned, that Quebec had been asking for a long time. Now, reality's going to set in. He's going to go through his budget this week. Then there's going to be 2 weeks off. They're going to be, you know, take a 2 week Easter break. So the Liberals will send their ministers and their top people across the country, you know, to beat the drum and say, look at all the great stuff that we put in our budget. Poilievre will probably do the same thing, saying it's about time we threw these guys out. But that's just a reminder that we are heading for an election sooner rather than later.
Tom, just on a personal note, we all waited for President Biden to arrive to make the speech into the House of Commons. I mean, the cameras were just panning and the announcers were killing time. And there was a great shot at one point of former Prime Minister Jean Chrétien having what looked like a wonderful conversation with one of the two Michaels, Michael Spavor. And I said to my wife, I said, boy, I'd love to be listening into what these two are talking about right now.
Yeah. And by the way, that was also a small triumph for Trudeau. You simply put them in the room. And any talk that there was a member of the Liberal caucus who might have been talking to the Chinese government or its representatives in a way that could be harmful to them, well, that dissipates because you got them right there in the room. And that was another really grand coup by Trudeau and the people around him.
Speaking of the two Michaels, the American ambassador, David Cohen, you're following this story as well, that he announced that Canada and the U.S. are ready to tackle China together.
You know, yes, I mean, that has to be the case. You have to start taking on China because they've just been going around the world and organizing things in so many countries and getting their footprint in there. They want to take on the Western world, the democracies. You know, when you see Putin and Xi together, you understand the game that's being played for them. It's massive geopolitics. They're saying, we're going to have this place in places like Africa, we're going to start taking over. We're going to really start throwing our weight around. Well, the Western democracies better wake up. You know, Putin is the dangerous character who illegally invaded Ukraine. And President Xi is not backing down from any of the things that he's talked about. He's got his friend and neighbor, North Korea, that does some of his saber rattling for him. The same way you've got client states for Russia right now. You know, you've got places like Syria and Iraq that are always making the world a more dangerous place. So, yeah, we've got to look at the reality. I don't think we talk enough about what's happening in Ukraine. I mean, over the weekend, Putin saying, oh, I think we're going to start moving some tactical nuclear missiles into Belarus. I mean, we don't talk enough about how dangerous that is because we're just so used to the games that are being played. But I have a feeling that Putin on some level is playing chess, and sometimes the Western democracies are trying to figure out the rudiments of checkers. It's not the same game.